MC Lob Shear, the host of the Cash Flow Ninja podcast and also the president and chief wealth and investment strategist of Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate cash flow banking, also known as infinite banking, with their business and investments. If you're interested in learning more about how we create strategies that integrate cash flow banking and investments to turbocharge them, you can access a video series at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Here is your host inside the dojo, MC Laubscher.
Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Laubscher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. And in today's show, we're going to be debunking global property investment myths. My guest in today's episode is Rachel Jensen. Rachel is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for ECI Development, a regional development company based throughout Latin America and Costa Rica, Belize, Panama, and Nicaragua. From the ground up, she has built and grown the sales and marketing department at the Grand Bayman community. In addition, Rachel structured the TEEK for Residency program in both Panama and Nicaragua to assist those looking to pair up a residency with alternative options outside their home countries. Rachel is a resident of Panama and thoroughly enjoys the Latin American lifestyle. She's often on the road educating folks at international events about the markets and opportunities abroad. In 2017, Rachel was invited to be the founding member of the Rotaract Club of Ambergris Key and was recently elected for the club's Director of Professional Development.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the United States. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Learn how to find the best deals by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com. That's noradarealestate.com.
Rachel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, MC.
Yeah, always great to connect. Rachel, now for my listeners that are not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Sure. So I originally grew up in New York and thought that I wanted to be a doctor. And then life took a 180 degree turn when I went down to Nicaragua in between my sophomore and my junior year of college on a medical mission trip. And after that trip, I realized that I was craving more culture. I was craving more language and getting involved from ground floor level versus just being in a hospital or a room, a medical room. So I changed my direction of what I was doing in school. I ended up continuing with the medical studies, focusing more on Spanish, but realized that after graduation, I wasn't necessarily going to go to med school. So not sure what to do. I applied for Peace Corps, ended up getting in, would have been teaching English in Panama. Then I started working with a developer in between graduation and going to Peace Corps. And this is an international real estate developer that has their headquarters in Belize and Nicaragua. And I was going down to the Nicaragua office for what I thought was going to be 3 months. And I ended up absolutely just falling in love with the country all over again, really believing in the mission of the company that I was with. Not only were they building real estate and residential and resort communities for primarily North Americans, but a lot of other demographics as well, but they were also catering towards the local communities that they were working in. There was a huge emphasis on corporate social responsibility and giving to the people in the communities and doing nonprofit work. And that really drew me into what they were doing. And I've been with the group for about 6.5 years at this point. And as a North American myself, what I realized over time is that owning real estate in Latin America specifically is very, very different than ownership of real estate in the States or Canada or any other country that truly is developed. Where I work, we work in developing countries. So Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Belize, Panama, soon Argentina. And these countries, in a sense, are still trying to figure out how to best work with foreign investors. They're all very supportive of foreign investment and want to continue that because it helps build their economy. But the processes aren't exactly as developed as they are in North America. And we tend to take that for granted. So as a real estate investor myself in the States and in Central America, when you and I, MC, started talking about this, it's like, this is what a lot of people are looking to hear about, because ownership of real estate overseas is such a critical part of people's portfolio, and wanted to talk out some of the myths with you and some of the kinks to understand how to best go about ownership of foreign real estate.
What is one of the big reasons that people would buy property overseas?
Yeah, there are a couple of them. And one of the really big ones that we've identified over the years is certainly the diversification factor. So a lot of people who have healthy portfolios typically tend to have a portfolio that's diversified. And you've all heard the saying before, don't keep all of your eggs in one basket. And when it comes to diversification, it's not just asset classes, but it's also where your investment is held. And a lot of times we tend to think, well, I'm diversified. I have ownership of real estate in Tennessee, and I have stocks and bonds and mutual funds, and I'm set. Or some people even look at big corporate companies and see where they're based at the stock exchange and say, well, if they're based in Canada or the UK, I'm diversified. But the reality of that is yes, there's some diversification, but in order to truly have a healthy and successful portfolio, what you need to do is have different asset classes in different countries. So I was at a real estate conference, this was a few weeks ago at this point in New York, and one of the guys there, he's a real estate agent from Dubai, he was saying basically that the global real estate world is such an important piece of people's portfolio, because when one country is going through a correction, another country is coming out of that correction. And when savvy real estate investors hear that, they go, well, of course, that makes sense, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future in this country or in this country or this country. And having a diversified portfolio across the world really helps. So there's diversification, and then there's a second reason, and that's more geared towards people who are looking for lifestyle changes, where perhaps they've had enough in their home country and they're looking to relocate somewhere permanently or semi-permanently or for however long they want to be there. And so there are two ways you can look at ownership of real estate overseas. One is from that investment perspective of diversifying your portfolio. And then the second is from that lifestyle perspective. I mean, think about when you go on vacation, and let's say you really, really love going to Belize and you keep coming back year after year after year. And then you go, this is a great place for me to have a second home. Or maybe I want to retire here someday, so I'm going to pick up real estate now. And because people are finding that living in another country can be a lot less in terms of cost of living, they are looking abroad. They are looking for places that they'll be able to maintain on their Social Security or their pension.
What are some of the biggest surprises that you experienced when you went through the process of investing and purchasing property overseas? And one of the things that you just didn't expect at all?
This is a great question. And one of the biggest surprises I found was the titling process. We are so used to it being 30, 60, 90 days in the States or Canada or truly in any of these really developed countries. Where I live and where I work and also where I invest are countries that are developing. They're in the path of progress. And like I mentioned before, these countries are really, really open and friendly towards foreign investors, but they don't yet have the process all finalized. So for example, I ended up purchasing a piece of real estate, a condominium in Belize a couple of years ago. And I had submitted all of the paperwork that was requested of me to get this title. And I ended up getting a note back from the lady who was helping me with the titling. And she said, all right, well, now the central bank is going to be getting involved with the titling process, and they need to see XYZ from you. And I was like, my goodness, I just submitted everything that was required of me. Now they need something else. And this tends to be the case in developing countries because they also are trying to figure out the best process possible in order to process titles or whatever it may be. So I was shocked when I realized that getting title in a foreign country may take time, definitely longer than the 30, 60, 90 days. Panama, where I also have real estate, it can be 2.5, 3 years before you receive a title. But I think one of the critical pieces that you need to do when you're looking at foreign real estate is, are you going to be getting a title? And kind of segueing here into a new topic of conversation, but I think understanding the importance of title and receiving title is really critical when people are looking at real estate of ownership of real estate overseas. So I'm going to expand on that part a bit more.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Well, in Latin America, there's something called right of possession. So that's typically when a family has been on this property for generations and they've just never received a deed or title or paper copy of anything saying that they are the owners. And as more foreigners come in and are looking for real estate, this owner of the land that they've been on for generations may say, yeah, we can sell you the property. But in order for them to actually produce a title or deed, they, as the original owner, need to go and start that process. So there are many times when you may look at real estate overseas and a deed may not be available. And I say that that's a big red flag, unless you're working on some special with the current owner that you'll put 10% of the funds down and then the remaining 90% down when they produce a title for you. But that's a huge, huge, huge thing because I've known a few people who buy real estate that 10 other people have also purchased the same one. So it is absolutely critical to make sure you can get title.
This really is discussed in depth in a book that I just finished as well, The Mystery of Capital by Hernando de Soto, Why Capitalism Works in the West and Fails Everywhere Else. One of the big things that he discusses in the book is the concept of what capital is, right? And how to extract capital from assets. And one of the things that he talks about is the large amount of dead capital that exists, for instance, in quote-unquote third world countries and countries that were formerly part of the Soviet bloc and Asia, because they don't have an integrated property system with records, such as, for instance, the United States, Canada, or the UK, right? So in some of these countries, especially if you're in Latin America or Central America or in Africa or in the countries in the former Soviet blocs, sometimes they don't have that. So you do get into the issue where there's about 8 different claims to a specific piece of land because they don't have the titles in order, right?
It's true. And I thank you for the recommendation. I just got it in from Amazon, the book. So I'm looking forward to reading it. But that's exactly right, is that there is this misunderstanding or misconception or just uncertainty as to who owns a property if there's no recorded deed or ledger of this specific space. So it definitely makes you think, but it also encourages you to ask the question, is there full title ownership to this property? Or if it's not full title ownership, what does the ownership structure look like? Like in some cases, for example, real estate owners are buying shares of a company. And I'm thinking of a specific development in Belize on Ambergris Key, where instead of you getting title to the property, you get a share of a company that this company owns the land that the condo is built on. So, I mean, that in a sense is secure, but you just want to make sure the company is actually the true owner of that land, because if they're not, then you're not really buying much of anything.
Right. One other question that listeners might have too is financing. Any information you can share about or regarding financing of real estate overseas?
Yes. And I'm going to suggest to absolutely forget about any financing normalities that you know in the States or Canada. Typically, we're used to the 80-20. Right? 80% can be financed, you put 20% down. That is not the case in Latin America or truly globally if you are not a resident of the country that you're buying the real estate in. So there is an international bank that my company works with specifically, and they require 50% loan to value. So you put 50% down, and then the bank finances 50%. And we were able to negotiate great rates with them of 6.9% interest. And that may be high for some people who are listening, but let me tell you, typical interest rates, if you're buying real estate as a non-resident or non-citizen of a country, can range anywhere from 10, 13, 15%. So something that I recommend doing is, number one, seeing if the developer that you're working with, or if you're buying a resale property, if that owner has some sort of special financing, owner financing or developer financing, that makes it a little bit more feasible to you. Because then that way you're able to make it a little bit more, as I mentioned, feasible. And especially in the States where we're so used to that, when we go abroad and look at another country, we're not necessarily used to that. And second, I would recommend, if you own real estate in the States and you're able to take a second mortgage against your home or take a line of credit and use the money to buy the real estate overseas, then you're doing yourself a favor, because in the States you're seeing interest, I know it's gone up a little bit, but 4, 5, 6% interest rates versus what any international bank may be charging you. So there are a couple of ways around it, but please don't go in with the understanding or the thought that you're going to get 80% financing at 3, 4, 5% interest, because that's not the reality. And I don't want to disappoint you. There are certainly workarounds around it, but I had somebody who reached out to me and she's like, I have $20,000 down. I want a beachfront bungalow. Where can I buy? And I was like, oh gosh, well, that's really, really difficult, because you're not going to be able to get financing for that other $80,000 to have a chunk of $100,000. So there are certainly workarounds, as we talked about, but bear that in mind as you're starting or doing your international real estate search.
From a pricing perspective, you just mentioned the example of, I have $20,000, where can I buy beachfront property?
Yeah.
A lot of these prices are in line with prices in the West. This isn't because it's in different currencies where you're going to go down, you know, with $5,000 or $10,000 and now all of a sudden, you know, buy one of the pieces of property advertised in some of these tropical movies, right?
Right. It's true. And that's a really great point, MC. And I didn't have that down here on my talking points, but it is something that I want to address. If you're looking for real estate that is the same caliber and quality and standards that you're used to in North America, you're not going to be paying local prices. I mean, you can, I live on Anchorage Key, Belize. It's a Caribbean island off of the coast of Belize City. And you can find local real estate there for $25,000, $30,000, but it's not going to have hurricane standards. You're not going to have hot water. You're not going to have a washer dryer by any means. You may have a couple of rooms, but it's really not going to be what most people are looking for. Now, when you're looking at international real estate, and if you are looking for the brands that you're familiar with, if you're looking for the gel-blend windows that are hurricane-proof, most of the time the developer will import those items. And as you may imagine, there's a higher price tag associated with that, because you have the import fees, you have the transportation, you have all of these extra fees. So it may not necessarily be less expensive. I mean, real estate comparison. So it may be less expensive if you're comparing a Bermuda property to Belize property, because Belize hasn't yet boomed like Bermuda has. But if you're looking for super low cost quality, you're going to be getting, or super low cost equipment and building, you're going to be getting lower quality. So do bear that in mind as you're looking at the real estate, but it will vary depending on the country that you're working in, just depending on what their costs are. Nicaragua, for example, it is a country that's certainly in the path of progress, and it still has a couple more years, I think, to go before it gets to that point where a lot of people are looking at it. But the general cost of construction there is about $100 to $125 per square foot for a high-quality property. Now, again, you can find $65, $75 a square foot, but it's probably not going to be what you're looking for.
You're listening to Rachel Jensen on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint, followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com /life settlements. You're listening to Rachel Jensen on the Cashflow Ninja podcast, and now back to our interview. The other thing that I also was just thinking about for investors that are interested in something like this, maybe you can speak a little bit towards the opportunities to create cash flow when they're not using these properties, or maybe they just want to have it as a rental, right? What are some of the options available? For instance, is there management companies set up just like in the United States? And how is that all kind of managed from a distance?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's something I actually had noted down as a caution, because like anywhere, if you're buying real estate that is out of your eyesight or out of your general vicinity, you need to make sure you have a really trustworthy manager who's taking care of the place. And generally, management fees are going to be a little bit more expensive than what we see in the States. Typically in the States, about 10% is normal. In vacation jurisdictions or destinations, it could be anywhere from 15, 25, 30%, and in some cases 50%, just depending on what that management company is doing for you and the company that they're associated with. So there is definitely very similar styles in many of the places. I would recommend two things. Number one is see who is operating this management company. Is it a North American? Is it somebody who has experience of dealing with North Americans before in North American rental management? If so, then you can expect that they would be operating the company in a similar way than they would in the States or in Canada, and you'd have similar expectations. If it's a company that is straight from the region and they've never done business with North Americans before, and maybe they've never touched real estate prior to them building this hotel, then you need to understand that, because they probably won't be managing to your standards. So you are able to find rental management companies. A lot of developers either have in-house teams or secure some sort of rental management company for you to make it as easy as possible. I know we all like, I mean, I personally like turnkey. I like knowing exactly what I'm getting. I know like exactly what price I'm going to pay and what the rental process is going to be, because I don't, especially if I'm not living in that country, I don't have the time to go down and interview different rental management companies and do my due diligence on the person. I want to work with somebody who's trusted and has been recommended to me. So a lot of the developers do have that part taken care of, but I would recommend just even doing that one further step of due diligence and seeing who that person is. But when it comes to opportunities abroad, where I am specifically throughout Latin America, they are all open for foreign investors. You're able to buy real estate, get the title to the real estate, and then put it into a rental program. And just depending on the rental management company, there may be different ways that they do things. So for example, and I'm going to use Belize here for an example, but if you buy a piece of real estate in Belize for, let's say, $170,000, and you're planning to maybe come down every now and again, but not necessarily planning to live there, you want to make sure that you're able to do that, because some rental management contracts have specific usage rights for the owner, meaning you can only come down 2 weeks a year until you start paying, or every time you come down, you have to pay a daily usage fee because it's not in the rental program. Some rental management companies are very, very flexible with how often you use it, and some companies say are very, very rigid, where they give you an exact number of days that you can stay for free or until you start paying. So do bear that in mind. But I'd say that all rental management companies are different. There's no standard set. So I would certainly recommend just going through the documents, making sure that if you are buying from a developer, that you're buying from a developer where your goals align, especially if you're planning to come down and use it every now and again.
Any information you can share on residency programs that go along with purchasing real estate in Latin America and Central America?
Yes. So Panama is one of the most well-known for investor residencies. There are two specifically. One of them is called the Friendly Nations Visa. For that one, you only need to invest about $10,000 in land. And then from there, you're able to get your Friendly Nations Visa. The other one is more of a foreign investor, and you can invest about $250,000 in a specific piece of real estate, and then from there, you can get your residency. A lot of countries these days are kind of shying away from economic means. because there's, you know, some sort of corruption behind it, but it is still possible to find those, like St. Kitts and Nevis. This is more the Caribbean, but St. Kitts and Nevis, you're able to buy a residency there through economic means, meaning you pay X amount of dollars, and then from there they'll give you a citizenship. But in the Americas, for sure, one of the easiest and highest regarded in the sense is Panama. And with the Friendly Nations visa, you only need to visit Panama one day every 2 years. So you don't even need to live down there, but it makes it very easy. And we've talked about this, MC, on one of your other podcasts, is the ownership of teak, so the hardwood in Panama. And through that ownership, you get title to the land. You also receive any harvest proceeds or thinnings. And you can also get a residency where the Friendly Nations visa specifically, you only have to visit one day every 2 years.
Yeah, that's quite incredible. So a lot of different benefits that come with that. And the episode that Rachel was just referring to is episode 293, where she shared an opportunity in, an investment opportunity in teak offshore. Rachel is hosting a webinar, and we co-hosted, Rachel presented, where she shares much more about investing in overseas property, and she also walks you through 15 critical questions for overseas investment and property ownership. So a ton of value that she provides. So if you're enjoying Rachel and myself on that webinar, you could go to cashflowninja.com/ECI. That's cashflowninja.com/ECI. Rachel, any parting words for my listeners? And also please just share your websites where they can reach out to you and where they can follow you and get more information on all of the projects that you're involved with.
Sure. Well, I'll first start with the webinar. Thanks for mentioning that, MC. We had a great time co-hosting it. But do make sure that you watch that, because there is a freebie at the end. It's a white paper that will benefit you as you're looking for real estate globally. Those 15 questions that MC mentioned are in that freebie that we have at the end. So it is definitely worth watching and then requesting those documents at the end. And you're able to find me ecidevelopment.com, ecidevelopment.com. And just mention that you heard me on MC's podcast, or mention Cashflow Ninja, because we do want to make sure that you receive all of the specials that are available at that time as a Cashflow Ninja listener.
Fantastic. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the show again and providing so much value for my listeners. This was a blast connecting again.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, MC. It really is a fun time, and it's neat to connect with people who have a similar mindset as you, and to have those conversations about global opportunities, because it is such a big world and there are tons of opportunities out there. And educating you and your listeners on what questions to ask and how to make the process simpler definitely is something that is important to us as an organization, and me as well, as I'm chatting with our different clients and owners and understanding what their goals and objectives are. So thank you again, MC. This has been great, and I look forward to chatting with anybody who's listening, and we can go from there.
Thank you. MC Lobshear, the creator and host of the Cashflow Ninja and president of Producers Wealth, and I'm on a mission to help you achieve economic and financial freedom as quickly as possible. I achieve this by integrating the infinite banking concept with real estate investments to increase your efficiency and returns and recapture cash flow that you're not even aware of that you're losing. I share the number one strategy for investors in my holistic wealth creation course at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Thank you for joining me again on the Cashflow Ninja. Thank you for all your support. You rock. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here at the Cashflow Ninja, please subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com or text cashflowninja to 44222. I'm also posting daily videos on Facebook and YouTube, and will live stream weekly starting May 2018. To make sure you don't miss any of the live streams, please like and subscribe to my Facebook and YouTube platforms. I'm also dropping content on Instagram daily. Be sure to follow us on Instagram to get in on the action. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. That's our show for today. Until next time, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.